Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Railroad Safety and Federal Preemption Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On February 29, 2012, the Supreme Court announced its decision in Kearns v. Railroad Friction Products Corporation. The question in this case was whether the Federal Locomotive Inspection Act, or LIA, preempted design defect failure to warn claims brought under state law for injuries relating to asbestos contained in locomotive parts. In an opinion delivered by Justice Thomas, the court held by a vote of 6-3 that LIA did preempt such state law claims. Chief Justice Roberts and Justices Scalia, Kennedy, Alito, and Kagan joined Justice Thomas's opinion. Justice Kagan also filed a concurring opinion. Justice Sotomayor, joined by Justices Ginsburg and Breyer, filed an opinion concurring in part and dissenting in part. To discuss the case, we have Mark Behrens, who is a partner at Shock, Hardy & Bacon, LLP. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Behrens.
Welcome and thank you for listening to this podcast on the United States Supreme Court's February 29, 2012 ruling in Kearns v. Railroad Friction Products Corp. The issue in this case was whether the Locomotive Inspection Act, the LIA, preempts state law design defect and failure to warn claims falling within the field of railroad equipment regulation. In a 6-3 majority opinion authored by Justice Thomas, the court held that Congress, through the LIA, intended to occupy the field of regulating locomotive equipment, thus preempting plaintiff's state law tort claims. In reaching its decision, the court reaffirmed its ruling 85 years earlier in Napier v. Atlantic Coast Line Railroad Company, which recognized field preemption in this context. The Kearns case arose out of plaintiffs' alleged exposure to asbestos-containing products used on locomotives. George Corson, a former welder and machinist who worked for a railroad carrier from 1947 until 1974, was diagnosed in 2005 with mesothelioma, an asbestos-related cancer. In 2007, he sued 59 companies claiming his cancer was caused by exposure to asbestos in locomotives and locomotive parts. Mr. Corson later passed away, and his widow and executrix of his estate continued the action. The case was originally filed in the Philadelphia Court of Common Pleas, but later removed to the United States District Court for the Eastern District of Pennsylvania by the two remaining defendants, Railroad Friction Products and VAD Corp. These defendants then moved for summary judgment on the basis that any state claims arising from locomotive parts are clearly an area Congress intended to preempt through the Locomotive Inspection Act. The United States District Court agreed and granted summary judgment. The Third Circuit affirmed. Kearns then appealed to the United States Supreme Court. In affirming the holding of the lower courts, the Supreme Court determined that it did not have to address the issue of preemptive scope of the LIA with a clean slate because the court already addressed that issue 85 years earlier in its Napier decision. In Napier, railroads challenged two state laws prohibiting the use of locomotives not equipped with certain prescribed devices on the ground that the Interstate Commerce Commission, the agency then vested with the authority to carry out the LIA's requirements, had not required the devices. There, the court held that the Locomotive Inspection Act manifested the intention to occupy the entire field of regulating locomotive equipment, given the broad scope of authority conferred upon the Interstate Commerce Commission by Congress in the Locomotive Inspection Act. Specifically, the Napier Court stated that the power delegated to the ICC was a general one that extends to the design, the construction, and the material of every part of the locomotive and tender and of all of its appurtenances. Against the background of the Napier ruling, the court in Kearns examined whether the preemptive scope of the LIA remained as broadly defined. Kearns argued that the Federal Railroad Safety Act of 1970 altered the LIA's preemptive effect by granting the Secretary of Transportation broad regulatory authority over railroad safety. The court rejected this argument, pointing to provisions in the Railroad Safety Act stating that the law intended only to supplant existing laws and safety regulations at the time of its enactment. In addition, Kearns argued that state law claims arising from the repair and maintenance of locomotives fell outside the scope of the field preemption announced in Napier. The court rejected this argument, holding that Napier applied broadly and did not distinguish between hazards arising from repair and maintenance as opposed to those arising from use of the railroad on a railroad line. Kearns also argued that the state law design defect and failure to warn claims fell outside of the scope of the Locomotive Inspection Act field preemption because manufacturers were not regulated under the LIA at the time plaintiff was allegedly exposed to asbestos. The LIA, as originally enacted, subjected only common carriers to civil penalties, and it was not until 1988, well after the events of the case, that the LIA's penalty provision was revised to apply to any person violating the act. Nevertheless, the court rejected this view as well, finding it inconsistent with the holding in Napier, which defined the field preempted by the LIA on the basis of the physical elements regulated, namely the equipment of locomotives, and not on the basis of the entity directly subject to regulation. Finally, Kern sought to carve out the failure to warn claims and the state common law claims from the scope of the LIA's field preemption. The court denied each attempt. First, the court reasoned that a failure to warn claim was, at bottom, still a product defect claim arising from locomotives and parts, so it remained within the scope of the LIA. Second, the court explained that its decision in Napier clearly intended to occupy the entire field of regulating locomotive equipment, and this was intended to include the common law. Accordingly, the court affirmed the lower court's decisions, holding that the LIA preempts state law claims falling within the field of locomotive equipment regulation. Justice Kagan joined in the majority opinion, but authored a concurring opinion expressing her view that when viewed through the modern lens of preemption, Napier was anachronism. She further explained, under our more recent cases, Congress must do much more to oust all of state law from a field. Justice Kagan concluded that Napier governs so long as Congress lets it. Justice Sotomayor authored a dissenting opinion, which was joined by Justices Ginsburg and Breyer. These justices concurred that the LIA preempted the state law design defect claims, but disagreed that state failure to warn claims were similarly preempted. The dissent argued that such claims proceed on a fundamentally different theory of tort liability that does not implicate a physical composition of a product at all, and therefore falls outside the scope of the field preemption as defined in Napier. There are presently several thousand cases in the federal asbestos MDL and in state courts that deal with alleged exposure from locomotive equipment and parts. The ruling in Kearns will preempt those state law claims, as well as any other product liability claims against manufacturers and suppliers of locomotive equipment and parts.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.